for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon, December the 26th, Ladies 115 meeting. Junie Copeland is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Hearing the Voice of God.
Well, those of you who don't know me, my name is Junie Copeland. And this was dropped in on me last night after service, so needless to say, I didn't get much sleep last night because you know, your mind's going every direction, and my heart's desire is to only speak what would help you. Otherwise, it's just fruitless. And seeing how we're just women folk in here, will be shortly. I want you to just relax, and he's leaving, so praise will mean something. I want you to just relax, and let's just have a girl's time. I want you to share. I'm not going to per se be teaching you anything. This is a sharing time today. We're going to do it a little different because this is the way I do it. So I want you to just open up and let's just share with one another some things. And you'd be surprised what you have to say could just really unlock something for somebody else. And so the first thing I want to do is ask you a question. How many of you feel like you're lacking in your Christian walk with the Lord? You feel kind of deficient in ways. Well, you know, we can all raise our hand, or both of them, or whatever. Well, the Lord don't want you to feel that way, because He's all that you need. And the key is to get some things unlocked so that we realize that He is all we need. And the key is relationship. Relationship, relationship. That is the whole, that's the root of the whole matter. That's where it's at. You can have a problem. I don't care what area you might have a problem in, whatever you're concerned with. You might fret and worry over your kids, your grandkids, your finances, what model of car you drive. You know, just, you name it. High blood pressure. You know, a lot of women fret and worry over that because, you know, it's a big deal nowadays. And there's all kinds of things that is just taxing your brain and worrying you. But the way to get out of that is just relationship with the Father. Let's read. And first, if you got your Bible, if not, you can just sit there and listen. Let's read in John chapter 14. Jesus is talking in verse 1, and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I know the setting that he was talking about here, but I just want to take that phrase. Jesus is saying to you today, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, let's quit worrying. Let's quit worrying over every little thing. As women as a whole, we're worry warts. You know, we just are, because we just, we think, well, you know, he ain't worrying about it. Somebody's got to. You know what I'm saying? And so we're just worry warts. But the Lord wants you to get your eyes off of your problems. Get your eyes off of your problems. And there are some times that you've got some major, major problems. And it's hard to get your eyes off that problem. But Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Perfect love casts out fear. And once you start fretting and worrying, what happens? You start getting fearful. fearful that this is not going to be taken care of, fearful that you're going to lose your husband, fearful that your children are not going to serve the Lord, fearful of the bills ain't going to be met, you know, and just first one thing and another. But Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. Dale stole my thunder last night, and I really wanted to get up and say it myself because he didn't tell it right. And I should have. But anyway, they had life flighted him to the hospital. And I had to understand where we live. We live in curves like this around here in Hot Springs. Actually, between here and home is just nothing but curves. But the mountains also, and where I live is like 25 miles from where he was working and where he started having these problems. And when he said, get here, you know, that's going to take me a little bit of time. So it just so happened my daughter was there at the house, and so she took care of everything, and I just jumped in the car and left. And she started making phone calls and getting the prayer chain going because she knew something was wrong with Dad. And so I made it to where he was at in 15 minutes, which is a big deal. And he was talking last night about speaking to his body, you know, when he's started having problems. Well, I prayed for him, you know, and spoke healing to his body also. But the whole trip over there, you know, I started really doing spiritual warfare because, you know, Satan is out to kill and destroy. Yeah. And if he can destroy you or whoever that is sharing the word of God, well, you know, that's his job. And so I started coming against the spirit of death and just really doing spiritual warfare. And so when I got there, he was not where I thought he was, but anyway, you know, panic tries to set in because, you know, it's just a bad deal unless you've experienced it. You really don't know. So the ambulance finally got to where the helicopter pad was at, and that's where I was waiting. And they let me in the ambulance, and he didn't look like anything was wrong with him. You know, and of course I knew that there was, but there had been. But anyway, to make a long story short, I got home and packed and all the stuff, and the son came and picked me up, and we were headed back over the mountain to Tulsa, which is like a 3-hour drive. And I leaned back and you see, God is so good and so faithful because He had us in a place where we knew to listen for His voice. And see, if you've never been taught that He can talk to you, how do you know? You know, so many times, you know, as I was growing up, you know, when you pray, you do all the talking. And you make your request known to God. That's all we did. You made our request known. And that was prayer. But for several months, Dale had been teaching about hearing the Rhema word from God for yourself. Not discounting the written word. Because when you hear a Rhema word from God, it's going to line up with the written word also. But God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you personally, and not just through me, or not just through you reading the Word. He wants to have a conversation with you. And so, on the way to the hospital, I leaned back and I said, Lord, I need a Rhema word right now. And immediately, you know, God didn't tell me. He didn't say He didn't want one earlier in the day. So I'm not going to talk to you now. You know, he didn't say that. He didn't say you didn't listen yesterday. You didn't ask me for one yesterday or last week or last month. Quickly, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I am your peace. And I am his healer. And from that time on, maybe I should have told him about it. I don't know. The Lord didn't remind me to tell him. So I wanted to tell him last night, well, that was my rhema. He didn't say, go tell your husband your rhema. You know, that's really what I was saying. But I was nice. But I will tell him. He says again. But isn't God good? I mean, I stood on that. We were in hospital for 5 days. And I only left him to run to Walmart a time or two. But the peace of God, you just can't explain it. The doctor come in to the emergency room and, you know, this is life or death here. You know, you're not, probably won't make it. And I did not panic. I was so thankful because any other time, hey, I'm a woman. You know, I didn't panic. I didn't even think about panic. It wasn't even there. But it was peace. Peace. Anyway, God not only wants to give me a rhema in a time like that, but He wants to give you one. Sister, are you in pain? You are, aren't you? It's not the will of God that she be in pain. I'm just so sorry, but it's not. Well, I'm not sorry either. Y'all just stretch your hand up here. She don't have to suffer and be in pain. Because why? What Jesus done. What did He do? He bore her pain, carried her sickness and disease, and by His stripes, she was healed. She was healed. Now pain, you leave. You have to go now. Whatever your cause, the root of it, be gone now. In Jesus' name, I declare healing belongs to my sister. It belongs to her because what Jesus has already done, it is hers. In Jesus' name, peace to this body. Peace right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every bit of the pain be gone. Be gone. Hallelujah. All of it. All of it. Be gone now. Hallelujah. Because what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. It's for us now. The blood that He shed for our healing is for us now. It wasn't just 2,000 years ago. It is now, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why should we worry? Why should we fret? It's stupid. It's just crazy. It is crazy for us to find ourselves in a position to where it is hard to trust God. It is hard to hear God. And a scripture that the Lord spoke to me that night after He gave me this word, because I just want to read it to you, because I know I can't quote it all. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Well, you know, if you're not careful when you're in a situation, your mind tends to go crazy. And that's when you apply the scripture. You cast down every evil imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what is the knowledge of God in your situation? Well, that night for me, it was, I knew by His stripes He was healed. I knew it. So I cast down that evil imagination and bring my thoughts into captivity. And sometimes it's like turning a dial on something. You just change channels. But you have to do it. You have to do it. It's something you do. You cast it down. God will not guard our heart for us. You have to guard your own heart. Now He's going to give you the grace and the mercy to do that, and He equips you to do it. But there's something you have to do. Now, I want to ask you, where is your problem of doubt? Think about it for a minute. And maybe sometimes we can have doubt and not even realize that's what it is. Let's take healing for an example, because healing is, A lot of times people can't receive healing because of doubt. And this is a doubt that a lot of people don't know it is a doubt. You can think, well, God is trying to teach me a lesson through this. So he's put this on me so he can teach me something. Do y'all believe that? Has it been in your thought life? Well, it has, of course. It has mine. But you know what? Here's something that is so great. God don't use stuff like that to teach you anything. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, to lead and guide you. So he's not going to use a sickness. He's not going to use a disaster to teach you. He's not going to cause it to happen to you to teach you something. Although when it does happen, he will use it to teach you something. But he will not bring it on you to teach you a lesson. I think that's great. He's not mean. He's not a mean father. Because, you know, you wouldn't give your child something evil or bad or harmful to teach them a lesson. About the most we do is spank their tail. You know, now let's go to Matthew 4. Verse 4 says, it is written, Jesus is talking to, remember, Satan on the mountain, and Satan is tempting him and all of these things. And he had told Jesus, he said, well, just command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now look at this. This is just great. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, let me see where I've got it wrote down. There's another scripture where it says, John chapter 5, verse 39 says, now Jesus just said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now in John 5, 39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. And we're to eat our daily bread. Remember, it's a daily bread. When he fed a man in the wilderness, it was a daily thing. Lots of times if we get a word from God, we try to live on that for days and weeks. And instead of making time and effort to listen for another rhema word. You know, God wants to talk to us every day, several times a day. You know, he wants that communication, doesn't he? Galatians 2 and 20. There is so much to the spiritual realm. If only the eyes of our understanding could just be enlightened. And the more fellowship we have with him, the more, and I cannot find Galatians. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I got a definition of faith. Dale taught a long time ago, and I wrote this down because this is a wonderful definition of faith. Faith is action based upon belief, sustained by confidence in the character of God. Action based on belief, sustained by confidence in the character of God. Well, you know, I have no problem having faith in the character of God. I have no problem with that. And so, faith is my action based on that. It takes all the pressure off of you. It don't have to be about you no more. It don't have to be about how much faith you have or how many times you prayed this week or if you prayed at all. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with us. It is action based on belief, sustained by confidence in the character of God. And he said this morning, he is trustworthy. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You know, things may not look good. Are you in a situation right now where things just really don't look good? From all appearances, they just don't look too good. But it just doesn't matter what it looks like. Your faith is based on your action, sustained by confidence in the character of God. What shuts off faith? Unbelief. Fear. I mean, it will shut it off fast. Fear. Disobedience. Absolutely. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Now, there's a lot of cases in the Scripture for people, even before the day of Pentecost, where people had a rhema word from God. And I want to read one right here. Chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among men, women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, who is this? You know, I am sure Angel Gabriel more than likely did not have big white wings and a halo or whatever. What would you think if all of a sudden this guy appears to you and say, "You're highly favored"? "Well, you know, I know I'm highly favored of God." And he goes on to tell her that she's, what is going to happen to her? She is going to become pregnant? Now, what would you do? Our first reaction in this day and hour is to dig in our purse for our pepper spray or dial 911 real quick on your cell phone. Yeah. Yeah. Because what? He's just told you that you're going to become pregnant. Well, what do you think? Attack, attack. Mm-mm-mm. You know, God might not send somebody to speak to you like He did Mary. He might not choose to send an angel to talk to you that way. Because probably it would scare us to death and we would faint of fright or whatever. But He wants to talk to you. How does He talk to you? Has anybody heard an audible voice from the Lord? Would you tell us about it? Well, you know, lots of times, and I've had impressions also, but a lot of times if we're not careful, we will discount those impressions, don't we? Well, that's just my own thoughts, you know. Or I'm not too sure if that was Him or, you know, different things like that. But most of the time when God speaks to me, it's thoughts, you know. Thoughts in my, you know, that I know is not mine. And that's probably the way He speaks to most people, I would imagine. How about you? That's the way He speaks mainly to you? Through your thoughts? Your music, yes. Very good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dreams is a good one, yes. Very good.
The angel knows the
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Scripture says they're ministering spirit. You know, so, you know, God can, how He chooses to speak to us is His business, isn't it? It can be somebody completely that we would never believe God would speak through. A gentleman spoke to me last night after service, and you know, I had to really think about it, because I thought, well, maybe that guy really is a, you know, just a real angel. God used him to speak to me, and I knew it when he spoke that it came from God, and the man knew it himself. So, he sure did. Remember the story about the little servant girl that got kidnapped and taken away from her own homeland, and her master was a leper. Remember that story? And he had gotten really bad, and she had a heart full of compassion, didn't she? And she said, if you only knew, there is a prophet of God in my land, and he could heal you. Well, this man, you know, word got to the king, and this man was important to the king, so the king sent word to the other king. And I was reading this a while back, and I thought, you know, this is really strange, because the king of Israel had no clue that there was such a man in the land. You know, this ungodly king, you know, sent word and said, I heard there was a prophet of God in your land that could heal my, whatever he was to him, captain of whatever. And the king said, what are you talking about? You know, I haven't heard of such a man. Well, you know, he's really clued in, wasn't he? Really spiritual there. But Elisha got word of it. And he went to the king and he said, you send him to me, and then he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. And I want, if you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this. God is after some prophetesses in the land. And I'm looking at some here. Well, you know, you said earlier that you felt like you were lacking and deficient. So how do we get from that point to this point? Well, you spend time with him. And you learn to hear his voice. And you learn to know that it's him speaking and not your own thoughts. And you learn to discern the good dreams from the bad dreams. Because there, you will have those also. Not every dream is from God, but he does use them. And so you will learn to do that. You will learn to know when he speaks through somebody else to you. You will learn his voice because you've spent time with him. Jesus, that's how he knew. He said, I only do what the Father tells me. Well, how in the world did he know to do it unless he had talked to the Father? Or he had listened to the Father. Well, how do you listen? For one thing, you quit talking. You know, it's hard for me to listen to you speak to me if I'm talking. So you find you a place, wherever it is, and you don't have to shut yourself up in a little closet room, which, you know, that's just a symbolizing thing. It can be driving somewhere to Walmart or, you know, laying in bed at night before you go to sleep or you're doing dishes or anything like that. You're constantly aware of something the Father wants to say to you. So you listen, and he will speak to you. In Psalms, and I couldn't find the scripture, but I didn't have my concordance with me. But you know it. It says, be still and know that I'm God. Let's turn there. 46:10. I should have knew you guys would know that. Yes. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth. Just be still and know that I'm He. He's all we need. He is all that we need. Now, so how do we get from this point to this point? We feel like there's such a lack in our lives, and we feel like we have come so short, fallen so short of the communication. Because, you know, we really do want to hear His voice, and we really do want to communicate with Him all the time, don't we? I know we do. I know you do because I do. And so how do I get from feeling such a lack to that special place where the song talks about being in the garden with him? And beautiful song. Not a funeral song. A worship song. But how do we get there? Well, first thing you start doing is building up yourself. by confessing. Isaiah 53, verse 5, it's a very familiar scripture. It talks about He has borne our pain and our diseases, and by His stripes we're healed, and all that. Well, I'm just going to read it. Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Because, you know, and because He has done that, we don't have to do that. Just to, you know, if you're sorrowful today, you don't have to be. He bore your sorrow. If you feel grief, you don't have to be. He bore them for you. You know, if he, His blood was powerful enough to save you, we don't have any problem believing that, do we? To know that, we all can laugh if we want to. We don't have any problem believing in soul salvation. You know, I don't have any problem believing that. And for healing, and the same blood that was shed for our healing and our salvation, it was the same for our sorrow and our grief. Very same. I can testify of that. I lost my dad. He passed away, and people thought I was crazy because I didn't have a spirit of sorrow. And it wasn't that I didn't love him and didn't miss him. But I understood some things. I understood that Jesus bore my grief, and I didn't have to sorrow because I knew where He was. And that's a whole other story. Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We've been afflicted also, and we don't have to bear that. He bore it for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, with His stripes, we are healed. So, if you're needing healing, you confess. You start speaking the Word of God to yourself. There is life in the Word. And it's not just reading it. It is speaking it. When you say it, faith is created in your heart. And what is faith? Action based on belief sustained by confidence in the character of God. And so when you start confessing those scriptures, then faith arises in your heart. What's another scripture you could confess? Wow, that's a mouthful. You need to say that. Every good word. Where is that found? You know that? Okay, find it, because I want to write that down. I want to. That one needs to be a confession. That is an excellent one.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But you're in a position you need to do it.
Absolutely. You know, if you will take index cards or these little sticky tabs and stick them all over your house, things that you know that you're needing to confess, that you need to proclaim the Word of God in your situation. Do it. Every time you see one, speak it. You know, there's life in the Word. There is life in the Word. Joyce Meyer don't just have the handle on that, you know. There is life in the Word. 9:8, 2 Corinthians 9:8. When you start confessing these things, healing is ours. Peace is yours. Joy. Prosperity becomes yours. There's a scripture, I'm sure, that talks about prosperity that you can confess. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I know the scripture's full of them. If you've got a financial need, start confessing that you prosper. That's right. And be in health, even as your soul prospers. That is a good one. Mm-hmm. Your journey. That's good. That's very good. Now, I've got a demonstration. I'll never tell. Jesus did. He said, greater things shall you do. Now, when you confess the scriptures, This is so powerful. I was sitting in church one day and Dale was talking about this. And the Lord gave me this demonstration. And I haven't got to use it yet, so y'all get to see it first. But it's like when you start confessing the scriptures, it is like an activator to the spirit realm. Just like this. Cool. I should have got a paper towel. Yes, ma'am. Ooh, vinegar with food coloring in it. Do you know you can put this in your drain, your kitchen drain, and it will. It's a natural cleanser for your drain. Look at that. I put that baking soda in there. It's like an activator. When you confess the Word of God, it causes an explosion in the spirit realm. Did you know? This is the truth now. I got to do that again. See if it'll work. It won't work a second time, will it? Not much.
No, not like
it did the first time. Oh, it's deleted. Yes! That is a good one! Amen! Woo. But when you confess the Word of God, you know, the Scripture talks about us being encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There is angels present. And there are good angels and there's bad angels. So it depends on your confession. If you confess the Word of God that by His stripes I'm healed, or prosperity scripture, or anything that would fit your need, if you would confess that, it's going to act like an activator to the spiritual realm, and an angel is going to carry that out. The angels are sent forth from God to minister unto us, because we're an heir of salvation, right? And so if we confess, if our confession is right, the angels is going to carry it out. But what happens if your confession is not right? Just depends on which one's going to carry it out. What if you say, well, I just feel so horrible today. Sure enough, the whole day you're going to just feel so horrible. You know? What if you get up and you say, well, that guy, you know, he'll never change. Never. I'll never, you know, they'll never be changed. They've never changed yet, and I don't know why they would now. They're never going to change. You know, who's going to carry that out? And so that person, you know, it's like putting a curse on them, actually, because the demons of darkness will go, see to it that things are carried out. So why are your words so important? Depends on what you unactivated. Depends on what you unactivated. So be careful what you say. Didn't we used to sing a song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father looking down. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. And you know what? It takes walking with the Spirit of the Lord to change that, because we are all so geared to just letting things fly. You know, just saying what's in your heart. Most of the time we need to stop and think about it before we say something. You know, even in joking and fun, you know, be careful what you say. Just be really careful. And I'm not a lonely person. But you know what I'd like for us to do? There's not very many of us. I'd like for us to come up here and let's join hands and pray together. Would that be all right with y'all? You know, the Scripture says if one can put 1,000 to flight, what can 2 do? Woo! I think there's more than two here. Amen, amen. Let's come on around here, ladies. Wow. Daughters of the Most High God. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. You know what? Worlds have been conquered by women praying. Churches have been started. Victories have been won from women praying. All down through the history and the ages. Let me tell you, you are important to God. My, my, my. Women of grace. That's what you are. Women of grace. Well, you just pray. Just allow the Lord to move on you. And you pray. Father, I just thank you for your blessings. I thank you for this group of ladies, Lord, truly, daughters of the Most High God. Oh, we give you praise, Lord, for who you are. I give you praise, Lord, for who you are in us. Lord, that you've taken up your abode within us. And you've influenced us, Lord, by your grace. Oh, I just thank you this day. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God. Oh, praise your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for victory in the house. I thank you, Lord, for victory in this house. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, oh, bless your name. Bless your name, oh, that our lips, oh, praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak healing to everybody. Oh, everyone, Lord, that has a need for healing today. I speak it now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I bind every sickness, every disease. In the name of Jesus, and I declare healing is ours because what Jesus has done. Oh, I thank you for freedom, Lord. Oh, that you came to set the captives free. Oh, and we declare it is ours this day in Jesus' name. Freedom over worry. Oh, freedom over depression. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Freedom over sadness. Oh, I speak joy in the place of sadness. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, great is your name. Great is your name. Great is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, rise within your people, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of discouragement, be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. Spirit of oppression, be gone from these people. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I declare Jesus is the victor over every situation. I pray for our children. I pray for our families, Lord. Oh, that the spirit of conviction would rest even upon our children, Lord, upon our grandchildren. Oh, we bind them for your kingdom, Lord. I pray for the husbands, Lord. Oh, we lift each one of them up right now. Oh, that you become mighty, strong in each one, Lord. I thank you this day, Lord. Oh, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise you,
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray that the spirit of heaviness be lifted off. Yes. Our hearts today.
that are sick, Lord.
Yes.
Help the fur and make the heart sick.
Yes.
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 Yes. And destroy these works of darkness.
Yes, yes, Lord. Lord.
The spirit of heaviness, the spirit of hopelessness, the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and the power of the Holy Ghost. The dunamis, miracle working power of the Holy Ghost. And a sound mind, the mind of Christ. In the name of
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
And the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lay hold of the hope that is set before us with joy.
Hallelujah.
It has to go in this place.
Yes, God, in my
eyes.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
we bless you. For you are great. You are great. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Yes.
Out of you, I seek you.
We thank you, Lord, that you have provided abundance in our lives. In the name of Jesus.
For the Lord is good. Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can somebody sing that song, My Voice is About God? But sing that song. In the garden. Y'all know that? Yes. Listen to the words. Do you hear him? He does. And he talks
with me. And he tells me I am his own.
He does. You're his own.
And the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. He
sweet.
Hallelujah.
Fear out of us
that we're not afraid to hear your voice.
Oh, yes,
we will move forward.
Oh, bless you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.